Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Passenger Pat Down Post Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Monday, January 26th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Arizona v. Johnson. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the pat-down search of a passenger from a vehicle stopped for a minor traffic violation violated the Fourth Amendment's ban on unreasonable searches and seizures. In a unanimous decision delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held that a pat-down search of a passenger believed to be armed and dangerous does not violate the Fourth Amendment, reversing the Arizona Court of Appeals decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome Deputy District Attorney Ronald Eisenberg of the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Eisenberg.
Arizona versus Johnson, decided by the Supreme Court on January 26th, appears to be a relatively minor extension of the law concerning search and seizure during routine traffic stops. But stirring underneath the surface were some deeper issues about the scope of the stop-and-frisk rule created in Terry versus Ohio. The simple question presented was this: if police stop a car for a traffic violation, can they frisk a passenger in the car if they have reasonable suspicion he's armed, even though it's the driver, not the passenger, who was committing the crime? That precise question had never been resolved by the Supreme Court. The short answer, the court has now declared, is yes, a passenger pat-down is okay. But some more fundamental problems about the nature of Terry frisks remain for future Fourth Amendment litigation. Here's the background. Police in Tucson stopped a car after they checked the license plate number and found out that the registration had been suspended. It wasn't a very nice neighborhood. In fact, it was a violent gang area, specifically Crips territory. While one officer dealt with the driver, another officer approached the passenger, Johnson, who became the defendant in this case. The passenger was dressed from head to foot in Crips colors. He acknowledged that he had a criminal record, and he was carrying a police scanner, a device whose function is to eavesdrop on police radio transmissions. The officer was concerned that the passenger might have a weapon on him. She asked him to get out of the car and patted him down. Sure enough, she felt a gun at his waist. He started to struggle. She arrested him for illegal gun possession. He was convicted at trial, but the Arizona Appellate Court threw the case out, ruling that you can't frisk someone, even if you reasonably suspect he's armed and dangerous, if you don't first have reason to believe he was involved in criminal activity. The Supreme Court granted review in order to round out a line of traffic stop cases dating back 30 years. We already know from the first of these decisions, Pennsylvania versus Mims, a case from Philadelphia, that police can frisk the driver when they make a traffic stop if they have reason to believe he's armed. The next case, Maryland versus Wilson, held that police can order a passenger to get out of the car during a traffic stop. And finally, just 2 years ago, in Brendlin versus California, the court ruled that when police stop a car with passengers in it, everyone in the car is considered seized under the Fourth Amendment, not just the driver. The state here argued to the court that if the passenger is seized and you can order him out of the car, it's a logical and small extension to say that you can also pat him down, even though it's the driver who committed the infraction that caused the traffic stop. The basic purpose of a weapons frisk is to protect the officer's safety when he's at risk while investigating crime. Traffic stops may involve minor offenses, but they're a major source of danger for cops. Over the last decade, over 100 officers have been killed during traffic stops. The defense responded that that's all well and good, except that the traffic stop here should be considered over, at least in relation to the passenger. In the defense view, once the officer started asking the passenger questions that were unrelated to the original purpose of the stop, they were just chatting. It was, at that point, a mere consensual encounter. And in such a circumstance, argued the defense, there can be no Terry frisk, even if the officer reasonably believed that the passenger was armed and dangerous. That's because, in the defense view, a Terry frisk must always be part of a Terry stop, and a stop must always be based on reasonable suspicion that a crime is occurring. If there is no stop based on an underlying crime, or if the stop is over, then there can be no frisk, regardless of the potential danger to the officer. The state countered that the stop here wasn't over at all. The driver had not been given permission to drive off, and a reasonable passenger could not have believed that he was free to just walk away. But the more important point, contended the state, is that it doesn't matter whether the stop was technically over. Pat-downs are justified whenever the officer legitimately finds himself in the company of someone who could threaten his safety. Stops are fundamentally different than frisks. The purpose of a stop is to investigate crime, but the purpose of a frisk is to avoid the possibility of getting shot. Where the exercise of an officer's legitimate duty gives rise to that possibility, a frisk should be proper whether or not the officer was in the midst of investigating crime during a Terry stop. This crucial principle was further developed in an amicus brief filed by the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, citing analysis by Professor Lefebvre in his landmark Criminal Procedure Treatise. And the Solicitor General of the United States also filed an amicus brief in support of this position. Not surprisingly, this major constitutional question dominated oral argument before the court. Several justices were not pleased with this aspect of the state's position, in particular Justice Ginsburg, who accused the government of trying to do away altogether with the first Terry factor, which requires reasonable suspicion that a crime is afoot. Hypotheticals followed. What if the police stopped to move a disabled car out of traffic? What if they stopped to help a motorist change a flat tire? What if a person just walks up to an officer on a sidewalk and asks for directions? In any of these situations, under the state's view, an officer could perform a frisk if reasonable suspicion arose that someone was armed and potentially dangerous, even if there was never any underlying crime that brought the officer and the suspect together. It only took the court a relatively quick month and a half to decide this case. The author was Justice Ginsburg. The opinion was unanimous and short, and the state won. But there wasn't a word about the broad, significant Terry issue that the briefs and oral argument had presented. Instead, the court held simply that the traffic stop here was not over when the passenger was frisked, and that traffic stop passenger frisks are proper under the combined thrust of its prior opinions in Mims, Wilson, and Brendlin. For now, then, the court has avoided the larger question of whether there is such a thing as what we might call a freestanding frisk. Officers on the street, though, are unlikely to wait. They'll probably keep choosing to frisk when they're facing someone they think might shoot them. Hopefully, it won't be too long before we find out whether that's okay under Terry versus Ohio.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.